stop missing me? Was it when I told you that I'd finally made my choice? And when did you give up on me? Was it after or before I found my voice? I stood alone.
Here's Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles, with a Miracle Minute.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And it's so great to be back on the airwaves. I really want to thank Dawn and Seth for keeping my space so wonderfully wired and keeping things going while I've been off in the world having a few adventures. So I'm going to tell you about a little bit about what I've been doing. So I was actually finishing a pastoral skills course through the Morris Pratt Institute that has to do with the National Spiritualist Association of Churches for 2 weeks. It was a tough course, I have to tell you. They're tough. They're really amazing. It's an amazing opportunity, but it's an intense course for 2 weeks from 9 in the morning till about 5:30 at night, and then lots and lots of homework. They really want to make sure you know what you're taking. So that was a great adventure, and I left there at 4:30. In the afternoon and headed for Maine to Temple Heights Spiritualist Camp Association there. And it was exciting to visit another spiritualist camp. It's very, very beautiful. Maine is absolutely exquisite. I want to say hello to all my clients that drove, some of them drove 5 hours and also came from Canada to get the chance to see what I look like in real time. Most of the time I'm a voice over the phone, just like I am over the airwaves. And I got to tell you, hon, I am so much thinner in on the phone and on radio. I am like 25 pounds thinner on radio and at least 10 or 15 pounds thinner on the phone line. So in real life, you got to deal with reality. And if you're like me, I haven't quite, although spiritually I'm 36, 26, 36, I have not quite manifested it down to the physical beingness. So it was wonderful to meet people in real time and have the experience to spend some time and to do my work. It's very interesting, and the reason I want to talk about this, because for me it's a treat to see other mediums work too. So one of the experiences of going to the spiritual camp and working with them and helping to raise funds for their camp association was getting the chance to see other mediums work, and I realized that East Coast mediums and West Coast mediums do work differently. Not only that, but also just, I think, our personal styles are a little different. And, hello? Phone calls already? This is exciting.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome
Hi.
To the airwaves.
Hi, am I on?
You're on.
Okay.
The whole world's
okay.
Listening, so what I need is your name and where you're calling from.
Great. This is Bonnie Nadine, and I'm calling from Texas.
How can I help you?
Well, first I need to know how many questions I get.
You get basically you get one on the radio. Sorry.
Okay.
You don't
That's
get a full
right.
blown reading.
That's
how can
okay.
I help?
I need to know when my friend's schizophrenic episode is going to end.
Okay, you have to say the name of the first name of the
okay.
person and say it again.
All right. His nickname is Slim.
Okay. And you ask the question again?
Yes. When will Slim's schizophrenic episode be over?
I feel like this person has been on almost a 3.5-year cycle of this problem. Okay, it's like a reoccurring thing, like a broken record. And I feel like this person, Lynn, has a major breakthrough actually in about 3 weeks. Okay, but this person really has to get with a program and stay with it, because they need the support. They can't wing this by themselves, honey.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. And it's sort of been, you know how things start and then you're running downhill and the momentum sort of carries you?
Yes.
He's in that cycle of the running down the hill and the momentum's carrying him. So I really feel like in this three-week period, he gets some really good help that helps him get through really major breakthrough in this. But he can't not do it. I mean, he can't do it by himself. He's got to get that support system and be consistent about it. And there's something in the next 3 weeks that gets that through the mental space of this person.
Thank you so much.
Because they've been really afraid. And I want to really say, you know, you've been a really good friend. You've really been there for them, and you've really been patient with this. And it's kind of splashed back on you, honey.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so, you know, you're in the flight or fright now because you've just been, you know, trying to hold up the boat by yourself. And so just give yourself time to take a little breath, you know, and let Spirit help you with this too. Because the problem is, honey, you've been so busy carrying the first aid box and putting the bandies on, you haven't had time for you. And you got to step back and go, this is in a different space now. I'm okay. All right?
Okay, hon. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, hon. Lots and lots of blessings.
Thank you. You too.
Take care, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It really is about the work, and I really learned that when I was back there. It always has been for me. But, you know, sometimes when you start seeing how everyone works, how this work is different for everyone and yet the same, you really get amazed sometimes when you're one-on-one sitting with a client. It's a little different on the phone and radio because you're giving out the information, but you don't see the absolutely intimate first reaction. When you're not in person, when you're on the phone and when you're on radio, you're not seeing the transformation of the person's features in front of you when you do personal one-on-one work. It is really dramatic to have someone collapse in your arms and give up something that has been in their energy field and in their emotional debris field for 30 or 40 years, and they collapse and they really, you know, release it and really, you know, give up the guilt or give up the fear or give up the worries, whatever the injury or wound is in that moment. And they get a healing, and you see that. You know that it's the greatest work in the world. It's the greatest opportunity to facilitate change. So for those of you who are developing out there, listening, and doing your spiritual homework, know that you are each a gift to someone in the world, and each moment we have the opportunity to be the conduit for healing. You know, we were discussing, it was great to talk with other people who have done this work for many, many years, you know, some of them 30 and 40 years, and we were all talking about how important it is to show up and be part of our work, but we really get we're not doing it, you know, and it was an interesting discussion because it's a privilege to be a reader and to be a medium, and certainly, you know, I'm not going to say that I don't get my little ego in there sometimes and think, oh, look what Tara did. But, you know, the truth is we don't do it, you know, that it really is we are the conduit or the telephone for if you're a healer. I had some great healers work on me there because after I wound up doing like 79 readings. And so, you know, by Friday, I was a frog by Friday, and I was really losing my voice, and I was very, very worried because I still had a circle, a seance to do. But these healers, these amazing healers stepped up and worked on me, and I just really want to thank them. Temple Heights Spiritualist Church and Camp have some wonderful, wonderful gifted readers and gifted healers, and so it was a great experience to surrender to receiving, and I think sometimes we forget to ask for help and surrender and say, you know what, I've got 100 readers standing around, healers standing around me. I think I'll let them help me, and it was a wonderful experience. And so we were all talking about how work is, the spiritual work, and how it's evolving and changing. So I thought it would be interesting to kind of share this incredible open-end discussion that we had about how there are amazing subtle changes that we have seen, particularly in the last year, and we're going to go back to that, you know, 2012 thing when the Mayan calendar ending, and we were all discussing about the changes in how spiritual work is happening and how much clarity people are seeming to get. But the process before the clarity is kind of interesting in that as people are feeling like, you know, they have sort of flu symptoms and they're kind of going through a stage where they're feeling blocked or things are like they're on a standstill. And I think it's because, and we were all discussing this, that it appears from everybody's point of view that you're being put on hold a little bit to kind of process and accept the new energies into our spiritual wiring, our database. And we were all talking about how different people are experiencing this kind of spiritual rewiring because we have mainly worked in the third dimension, you know, and now we're going fourth and fifth dimension. And so we were talking about what that exactly means for a lot of us. And the biggest thing that we kind of correlated from these like eight or nine healers and readers that were sitting around this table was that it appears time is changed. In third dimension, we're very caught up in time and how time works and how our schedules work and how we're caught up in that discernment of time. And yet now in the fourth and fifth dimension, it's like time has a different meaning. We're not experiencing time as a measurement like we have in the past. And so it's like time sort of stretches out for us in the fourth and fifth dimension. And particularly as we go into the fourth dimension, all of a sudden, I'm sure a lot of you are experiencing this as well, where you're traveling and all of a sudden you get to the place and time is shorter. You got there in half the time or less. Or you'll feel like time is shorter and you're almost there in a very short period of time. And then all of a sudden you're held up and you're on like standstill, like you're almost in this very strange time warp. And then you'll get there and you kind of talk about, wow, you know, I was driving to Oregon, I got to almost Vancouver, and it took me like 2 hours, where it almost always takes me three to get there. And then from Vancouver to Washougal, which should have took me 15 minutes, took me 45. It was like the time warp, or how time shifted, was changed. And it's an interesting experience. And then when you get there, it's almost like you still have gained time. I'd like gained, you know, 20 minutes. And so even though I was looking at my watch and trying to get into perspective how this is changing, and we were also talking about that as we do our work, it's what used to take us an hour and 40 minutes now takes us an hour. And it's more intense and more compressed, like if you're doing healings and things. So there's this interesting shift going on for many of us, and I think a lot of people are feeling it. A lot of people are talking about having much more vivid dreams, having real precognition dreams. And that's why I tell my clients and my listeners on the radio, start journaling, because there's patterns and pieces that are going to start falling into places that I think are going to be very, very amazing in a short period of time. Excuse me. And so, but it was great talking and having, you know, a selection of a lot of healers sitting around just brainstorming and talking about what's happening in their work, in their world, and then to compare it to what has been going on mine. And I'm really seeing so much that people are really dramatically being fine-tuned and really making career decisions. I think people who have been, you know, I hate to say hobby healers, but, you know, hobby healers or hobby readers are people who read part-time or did this work in a part-time manner because they, you know, had corporate jobs or they were in corporate America or it was their personal search and so it was kind of a private part-time thing and they went to workshops and things. I see that shifting. I see them all of a sudden really making career decisions to change their life, to go into it in a full-time manner. Or one person that we were talking to is like her corporate job in America went away like overnight, no warning, nothing, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, you might think about what you're going to do for the rest of your life. She got an amazing settlement out of the corporation she had worked in for 19 years and so has time to really now decide what she wants it to look like and make the commitment. But it's almost like segue out. You know, that thing you've had on the back burner thinking about, well, if I could have it and it might look like this, boom, it's there. So really define, you know, it's careful what you want, careful what you ask for. It might manifest time. And I think that's for everybody, not just for a chosen few. And that's the other thing we really talked about is this whole elitism of chosen few. You know, that different people have taught, oh, you're one of such and such, and you're, you know, you're blah, blah, blah healer, and you're this and you're that. And we see the boundary shifting. It was interesting with the new release of the Harry Potter information in the new book. As I read that book, I thought, it's interesting that in that book, in the fictional book, there's this shift in the consciousness and how, you know, the wizarding world was and the muggle world was and stuff. And I see that in reality, you know, that, quote-unquote, people who have not been into metaphysics, the muggles of the world, are shifting to have a interest in it. Not sure what it is, but they're certainly going in search of. And then the people who have been in it for a while, quote-unquote, the wizarding world, is going to an even different shift of consciousness of how they choose to do the work and how they choose to really make it who they are and part of their life in a full-time manner. And that really doesn't mean that maybe you're going to run off and be a healer or run off and be a reader. It can be that you're just choosing to use your spiritual ability, your discernment, your conscious choice, your spiritual choices in your everyday job. Because we talked about how important it is in our lives, whether we're pursuing a career in mediumship or metaphysics in some way, to choose wherever spirit puts us, and that may be in corporate America, or it could be being a teller at a bank or pumping gas, to choose that you walk your spirituality in whatever job or wherever the job is that spirit's put you. So I'd love to hear some feedback if people want to talk about that shift of consciousness that's going on in their life, or if you want, you know, a little mini reading, I'm open to that. And experience that, the number to call in on the radio is 1-877-876-5227. And, you know, it'd be great to talk about how you're feeling that consciousness shift and how you want to proceed. I think that, that listeners, especially in our radio shows, really would love to hear other people sharing how they're choosing to make that shift, how it feels to them, because it's not just hearing from Atira and her perspective and her spiritual connections about this. I think we need to share among ourselves more. So I know there's lots of wonderful groups that are forming where they're sharing their input and doing more teachings. Even just since I got back to Seattle, I've heard of about three other groups that have formed, which I'm excited about, because this is the time to start sharing our spiritual wisdom groups that are separate, male and female, but also in mixed groups. I think it's great. I see a lot. One thing that I thought was very interesting when I was back in Maine is I saw a lot more couples involved in this, which was I really loved. And I don't know if it just happened to be that that particular Temple Heights church is facilitating some groups training and you know, encouraging couples to come and explore spirituality, shamanism, as well as spiritualism and mediumship. I really felt that that particular Temple Heights, which I want to give their website, www.templeheightscamp.org, so that's their website, to experience, and they brought in a lot of different mediums and different types of teachings from all over the United States and Canada. So it was a great experience. Unfortunately, I didn't get to stay long enough to experience as many mediums as I would have liked, but certainly I know that it's a great opportunity to experience that. But this amazing shift that's happening, I think, is very, very exciting. So I really feel people are going to be much more drawn to defining how this conscious shift is happening for everyone. And I had talked about on one of my shows that we have gone through sort of the rewiring of our spiritual DNA and had that shifted, I would say, 5 years ago. And now it's that our physical beingness is now having to try and catch up. And I know a lot of people have been talking to about me that they just feel overwhelmed in the world, and they feel tired. They're going through periods of where they're just so exhausted. And we were talking about that people think, a lot of people think they're depressed. And I do think there's depression out there. I do. I think that that's a legit thing, too. However, I also just think that when we get these new energy vibrations coming into us. And say we're wired, you know, at, we're 110. And say we're being wired now to, I think it's 220, which is a, what washers and dryers are plugged in at. So if our wiring's being changed, our physical cellular DNA and our physical beingness would have to have a time of adjustment. And I really feel from what I've heard from Spirit, what I've heard from other readers as we were talking about this, that that's what this kind of feeling overtired, depressed, jet-laggy kind of flu symptoms are. It's like once you get through the shift, it's then you're like buzzed. You've got this energy. You've got a focus that you haven't had before, and it's just, you know, it's an amazing shift of consciousness as well as awareness of how you can plug into the universe. So the interesting thing for me that I've noticed now is the way I connect to Dom is different than it used to be. It's almost like, and the only thing I have it to compare it to is like I used to connect to Dom on a, like a dial-up for the computer. And now I'm on the cable, and it's so things come a lot faster. And my mouth has not caught up with it. It's almost like I can't talk fast enough, and God knows I talk really fast, those of you who had readings. But I almost have to get, I get the information so much faster now. I have to learn how to assimilate it and then actually then be able to communicate it in a way that is clearer. And it's also, we were talking about, the more people are getting signs and symbols, and also the other really interesting thing for me is the lucid dreaming. People are lucid dreaming like never before. And lucid dreaming is dreaming in color and dreaming things that, you see first and then they happen. So it's lucid precognition dreaming. And it can be simple things. It can be like dreaming in color and then going to somebody's house and go, oh, I dreamed you had a new car and it looked like this. And there, lo and behold, in the driveways, you know, the new car and so forth and so on. It's not necessarily big things. It's not like, catastrophes, although I have to say, certainly the experience of a tornado hitting New York City was pretty spooky and had, you know, had symbolic whirling dreams. Little did I know it was probably had something to do with that because I was actually going there. And I think sometimes we dream about things that places where we're going to go or experiences we're going to be projected into. Sometimes I don't think it's the big universal things, although I do feel that more and more mediums are starting to have that experience again of connecting to a bigger quantum field of information. I really think more people with this new fourth and fifth dimension wiring will be connecting to the cosmic consciousness / Akashic records that Edgar Cayce was connected to. So I think that that's going to be more of our norms. And so that will be interesting. So again, if anybody has experiences they want to share, I think it would be important to share them. I'd love to hear from you. 1-877-876-5227. I know that there's a lot of people who are have begun working with automatic writing, working with a mediumship that's like, you know, a personal mediumship. I think automatic writing tends to be personal for a lot of people where they can journal, they get information from their guides, certainly using angel cards, using cards that resonate with you, even tarot decks. Those are all forms and tools that people use to start having personal communications with their guides. And I really think even how that works. I've had several messages when I came home of people that have used cards in some form, particularly angel cards, for 2 or 3 years, and they called and they said, Atira, I don't need my cards anymore. It's like something's happened. And where I pulled the cards and I used to really, you know, kind of work and struggle to get things. Now I like pull one card and it's like tells me lots of things. And so how that conscious connection is happening is so amazingly different. And I've noticed even that when I came back from this trip that I see a lot more people a lot more new programs, spiritual programs, woo-woo programs. I noticed they're going to be on TV. I unfortunately didn't write down the names, but I will try and connect and bring it back to my audience so you get the opportunity to connect into that information stuff. So, and when I was back there, we were talking about how in the 1800s a lot of people started out with automatic writing. And I know Ruth Montgomery did a lot of automatic writing. That's how she connected with her guide, which I think was Lily, and then Arthur Ford. Or Fletcher was Arthur Ford's guide. And so to me it's interesting. I think it's a very good way of a comfortable mediumship, again, using white light, using your angels, protecting yourself, but trusting to get good information for yourself. I think that's a great medium to go towards, especially right now, because one of the biggest things Dom keeps talking about is it's so important for people to journal, to make notes. Like, Spirit's giving you something, and you will think, oh, that's mundane, it doesn't have anything to do with right here and now. But it's almost like keywords or information or symbols will be shown to you. And then if you have written them in your journal, then in a few days or weeks or months, you will see it outside yourself. You will see, you know, comfort. It could be on the side of a bus. It could be, you know, anywhere, showing up in the world, anywhere. It's really important to trust getting, you know, what you get and keep some records, because I've even noticed in the circle, unfoldment circle that I am working with here in Washington, and I've been on them really hard to journal and to keep journals. And they've come back, you know, in the last 3 months with, oh, I'm glad I journaled that, because then down the road, we got morphed to the message either in a circle or outside confirmation somewhere in their lives. And so sometimes it's like we need that track record, that history, to get confirmation, to trust what is coming into us, and to know that, you know, it becomes our truth. So trying automatic writing and journaling, I think, is a very good way to hook up and be connected with that energy in a personal way. I really encourage, we were talking also about this, and I think it's interesting, different readers' points of view. For me, I like it when I really feel if I have done my job right and really helped my clients, that they will commune with their own angels, guides, and masters, and I'll be out of work. Because I really think all of us are to have our own personal connection with our angels, guides, and masters. And we were having this discussion about this, and some readers said, well, you know, yeah, but, you know, you should be a mentor, you should be, you know, connected with them, give them the time. And I said, yeah, I'm for that, but I really want them to practice and do it on their own. And sometimes when we keep pushing them with the training wheels on, that's their norm. They don't want to let go of those training wheels. There has to be a point at which we say, okay, you know, we let go. And any of you who have ever taught their children to ride the bike the first time, you know, with the training wheels or just pushing them and being there, the hardest thing to do is let go. And yet, if we don't let go, they'll never go out in the world and be all they can be and do what they came here to do. So really learning to let go, or knowing even for yourself, that if you've been studying with somebody for a while, I'm ready to go on my own. I'm ready to either take a sabbatical, take that step back, really trust, go home and assimilate what you've learned in a group. And then, you know, decide it. You know, do you need to evolve to the next group? Or, you know, do you just need a break to assimilate and really know what you know from that group and then move on? Sometimes we get attached to, you know, being needy to a reader, and I think it's a very easy thing to fall into. But really, really, the truth is that becomes can become codependent. We were also talking about religion and how religion has evolved and changed all religions, not just spiritualism, but how also for many, many people that the 2012 is going to change spirituality, religion, our belief systems, about how we connect with God, God is all that is, insert your favorite deity, and how that will impact the world. That if, for example, we say to someone who believes they really have to have a priest or a minister to go through, and we say, oh, no, guess what, you can go right to the source, that could be very frightening and very world-changing, earth-shattering for some people. And so as this evolution happens and we become more personally connected with our divine spiritual selves and we become less dependent, it doesn't mean you're going to throw your religion out, because I think religion is very important. It's a social thing. It's a tribe thing, I think, you know, that for many people, their spiritual family or their family becomes their spiritual family, who they're connected through during their religion, not necessarily who they came in with. So that kind of connection is still, I think, very much part of where the evolution is going. However, the need to be dependent is going to be very different. And for some people, that's going to really be earth-shattering. It will be the end of the world as they know it, because some people have been codependent on their spouses, on their spiritual guru, on their church. And once that time of that can't happen anymore and the codependency falls away, it's going to facilitate a big change. And emotionally, they're going to have to just cough up things from their debris field. And it will be earth-shattering, and yet an incredible metamorphosis will take place. And we were talking about how, you know, let's say you're the caterpillar, and you're kind of in that ugly caterpillar stage. You know, you eat everything in sight, and you're just stumbling along, and you got too many feet to really be under you, you know, and you're just kind of trying to experience your environment, which can be scary. You know, you're trying to escape getting ate by the birds and other things. And you survive all of that, and you finally find that under part of the leaf, and you start, you know, spinning your little chrysalis. And you work and you work and you work. And that's the time in our life we feel like we're overworked and life isn't going right. And then we get in that little chrysalis and cocoon, and we go, oh, God, I'm just going to take about 40 years rest here. Okay, well, 30 days or however long it takes for you to metamorphose into this. But it's true. Sometimes then we go in that cave time, and we're in that chrysalis, and we're, like, hanging out with ourselves, you know. And that's when we have to, like, okay, we do this interview, this self-interview. It's like, okay, who am I? What do I want? Where am I going? Ooh, I didn't like what I did there. So we start doing that soul-searching time in this little cave time, chrysalis time. And then what happens? We emerge as this butterfly. And even though we emerge in this beautiful, you know, entity, we're hesitant to fly. We're hesitant. We still cling and stick to that chrysalis for a while and almost stuck again because the evolution is too overwhelming, you know. And then we get that we're a butterfly, and we get that we can fly. And then we fly off and we kind of experience the beautiful things of life, you know, smell a few flowers and experience things and go off and create and, again, live the life cycle out in an amazing way. So a lot of people are experiencing that kind of, you know, feeling ate up about things, and they're found their underside of the leaf, and they start to build their little chrysalis so they can go into cave time for now to experience then the rebirth that will come in 2012. And it's interesting, you know, everybody goes, oh, Tara, you know, why is it 2012? Why isn't 2008? Why isn't 2007? Again, you know, I don't write it, I just read it. And it's sometimes just about divine timing. And so, again, if anybody wants to share in the airwave, I don't know, I think everybody's listening to it intensely. You can pick up your phone, call 1-877-876-5227, and we'll talk about the chrysalis time or the cave time in your life or the experience of building that chrysalis. Sometimes it's experience of building that gives us aha's. And sometimes it is that time where, you know, you're eating everything in sight. And this is a great kind of experience for me when I was talking about this. I actually started to talk about it for my book because I really realized all of a sudden, this year in particular, I had seen the caterpillar stage. I had seen the caterpillar eating everything in sight stage. I had seen the chrysalis stage. All these things, and it was almost like everything was bigger than life. It was amplified. So I would notice it. And as I really started relating it to life, I really did get that we do live our lives in a cycle, just like all things in nature. And it just became probably more clarity to me that we do all the other stages really well, but the butterfly stage, we suck at. We just don't get it right. You know, we go through all the hard stuff. It's almost like we can do the hard stuff better, and we can get caught in the moaning and the groaning and the, you know, is this reality and all that stuff. But when it comes to the flight stage and the beauty stage, we are not really good at it. We need to really start being able to acknowledge our beauty, acknowledge how we morph into something more magnificent as we grow older, as we develop. We get a little more me-centric, which I think is fine. I don't think that's ego. I think it's called self-esteem. It gets us into a place where we can acknowledge that we are good at something we're doing. We may be good at many things, several things. You know, jack of all trades, master of many. And the labels are going to fall away. That's the other thing we're talking about with this new time of going forth into 2012 is we're not going to hang on to labels, guys. We're really going to dump those and download and get rid of them. And we're going to take more generic titles. For example, we won't say, I'm a such-and-such healer, Reiki, blah, 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 give your credentials, you know, 30,000 things that you've taken. You're just going to say, you know what, I'm a healer. I create a space for healing to take place. We may not even use the word healer. I'm a facilitator, because I think that's true. The more I talk, we talked at this sort of which became a roundtable of communicating and talking, we talked about that we're not really the medium, the clairvoyant, the healer. We are people who facilitate the state of grace for healing to take place, for ahas to take place, for people to get messages of clarity from spirit so that they can then take that truth into their life and transform their life, giving up grief, wounds, fears that they've had for a long time. And I think that's really how spirit works in all things, the healing spirits, everything, and we as human beings can choose to be part of that gift, part of that amazing experience or not, you know, and the more we keep working on ourselves, that's the other thing that I really want to say about the people that I met at Temple Heights were amazing in that they had to work on themselves all the time too. I think sometimes people who come to readers put us on that pedestal, and I tell you, I got a feet of clay. Probably Play-Doh, if you want to know the truth, guys. But the truth is that, you know, we have to work every day to keep where we are, too. We can't just say, oh, I have reached this height of awareness, and so there you go, I get to around the cosmic pool. It doesn't work that way. We are in constant, actually, probably because of the work, we have to work at it harder some days. We have to be really aware of what is our stuff and what is somebody else's and not to take other people's stuff on and to facilitate this experience and to own what is our stuff. We have to work on our own cosmic basement because if we don't, we have, it's cosmic debris field. And just like in Star Wars when they ejected the ship with the garbage, you know, if you're floating around and all that garbage is in your space, everything that you send out, so you're trying to send out a beam of healing, it will have to, you know, dodge all that crap in the field. And it will, you know, it can be destroyed. Your healing beam could be deflected. It could be contaminated. And the same about things coming into you. If I'm getting information from Dom, if I'm not clear and I'm not keeping my stuff out of the mix, then I could color a reading. And I have caught myself going, you know what, this doesn't feel right. This feels like somehow it's courting to something else in my personal stuff. So then I will go back and say, okay, Spirit, you know, take this out and give me the pure stuff. Give me the pure information. And it's a constant. You have to be really working on it in all the time while you're working in this medium. Whether you're working for yourself or not, people often ask when I was teaching the workshop, how do you know it's you and how do you know it's Dom? And I tell them it's really a dynamic difference in personality and how I talk. How I talk and how Dom talks are very, very different. For those of you who have been in my mediumship class, and I've had a few experiences now of Dom actually coming through me and being unconscious. How he sounds how he uses language, how he sounds is very different than me. He talks in 3 or 4 word sentences. It's very sort of stilted, but it's like he can say in 3 or 4 words a lot of clarity where it would take me 5 or 6 sentences to try and make sense of it how I would like, you know. And so it's an interesting experience as you begin to listen to spirit. They use verbiage you wouldn't use. They talk in often short phrases, and then they'll make sure, you know, they'll give you this blank space where they're making sure you comprehend what you're getting. And so as you start working with spirit, you'll have a very big sense that it's totally not the way you would carry on a normal conversation. The other thing is spirit does not tell you what you want to hear. That's the biggest buster. Because, you know, when people first start this, and even myself when I reawoke in my 20s to hearing Dom again, I go, oh, am I telling myself what I want to hear? And, you know, it's just like your little inner critic goes, but the truth is, they don't tell you what you want to hear. They'll call you, more often, call you on your stuff and letting you get away with facilitating the information that is just what you want to hear. Oh, yeah, I want to go to Hawaii, and I would like to meet, you know, 3 kahuna healers, and I would like to, you know, meet a spiritual guru and so forth and so on. That would be probably my agenda. But spirit's going to say, oh, no, you're going to go so-and-so, and it's going to look like such and such. And you might want to, you know, clear that from your cosmic basement before you get there. Otherwise, you're going to have a cosmic feather hit you, and you're going to have to look at something. And I'll take the cosmic feather over the cosmic 2x4 any time. But truly listening, because they're going to tell you, you know, you're drawn to places, whether it's Hawaii, Maine, Florida, an angel cruise, wherever you're going. You know, when you get there, if you are honest with yourself and say to your spirit, what is my part in this? You know, what is my personal experience in this? They'll tell you. Sometimes it's discerning to not overwork yourself. Sometimes it's learning to pace yourself. That seems to be one of my cosmic 2x4s. You know, I trust spirit, but sometimes, you know, they're saying, trust spirit, but maybe you might want to plan some things. You might want to coordinate some things in the real world so that you're not getting overextended. So sometimes it's asking simple questions is, what is that about? I had a client ask me a question about, you know, how do you discern? How do you really sit down and go to core issues in yourself? And I said, well, the truth is, it's a lot of work, and it's really being real with yourself. It's truly sitting down with a piece of paper and saying, okay, I'm stuck. Something's not working in my life. And so if I really am feeling stuck, let me be honest with what that feels like in this moment. So you might write down that I feel like I'm in a dead-end job, and I don't like my boss, and, you know, yada, 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 whatever, 10 things. And when you've got those down on the paper, and then you go back and say, okay, what is it I really don't like about my job? Is it really that I don't like the actual work? Is it that I don't like the environment? Or is it really I'm having an issue with my boss? And then all of a sudden you'll hear, oh, it's really the issue with the boss. And then you say to yourself, okay, if it's the issue with my boss, how much is it my boss and how much is it me? And you have to put your ego aside, because you're going to go, the boss, you know, is mean to me. But when you really sit down and say, okay, how much is room? You'll probably see a figure. You might see, 62% is my boss, and the rest is me. So how can I shift what it is with my boss and what it is with me? And most of the time, the work's in your basement. So if you start shifting the stuff that your boss's energy is courting to in your basement, you will have a catharsis and a wake-up call that's a good thing. Because you might go, oh, you know what, this person, the 62% of boss problem, is courting back to my fifth grade teacher who told me I couldn't do such and such well. So the wounded problem really is that I feel not good enough and that I can never do a filing system or alphabeticalize things or whatever the weakness is, because I still have my fifth grade teacher, Miss, you know, Shogun, talking in my ear going, beep, 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 you can't do it. So the truth is my boss is just hitting a button that's already there, and so I have to go to the core issue. So if I go to the core issue that Mrs. Shogun is still, her verbal voice is pounding me as in fifth grade, I have to go, thank you for reminding me that's my old pattern, but I choose in this moment to release it. Now, it takes a while to practice that and change it, but as you do work on it it will start releasing from that time in your woundedness in your fifth grade. And forgive Miss Shogun, because she really was trying to facilitate you to be a better student. But you were wounded. You got wounded by whatever was going on in that moment, and you hold it. So as you file your papers every day, whether it's on the computer or in an actual filing cabinet, you say, you know what, I'm really good at this. Every day I get better and better at this. It's so easy to do my job, and I really, really like my job because, you know what, I'm good at it. And I'm, in fact, so good at it, I could facilitate a transfer. Because some days you don't want to stay with the boss that bothers you 62%. But you can co-create that I choose to be in a different place. In that mix, I would also go and say, okay, dear spirit, I want to know, what am I here to learn? Was I here to learn this aha about the filing in the fifth grade? Or was I also here to learn that, you know what, I don't have to let that person wound me anymore. I could say, you know, I'm really doing a really great job and doing the best I can. How can I dissolve the thing that has now become an issue in this moment that I created because of my fifth grade wound? Was it just here to make me get an aha? And if it is, all of a sudden, the consciousness, the energy, the focus, the weirdness around things starts to dissipate, and guess what happens? You facilitate change for you and your boss. So there's this whole conscious shift that takes place. The problem is we get stuck at 1-800-WAH, and we want to WAH about our boss, our place, our work, rather than to facilitate the change. Because the truth is, if you're in a job that you feel is a dead end, you don't like, you hate the boss, you know, you hate the money, you hate everything, you have to ask, why are you there? Spirit put you there for some reason, because you co-created that in some way. I know you don't want to hear that, because, I mean, I know I don't like to hear it when somebody cosmically busts me on something. You know, Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, who is the captain of my website and my 30,000-year-old wonderful friend, she's like the mirror that she holds up to me sometimes. It is not mirror, mirror on the wall, how beautiful I am. It is sometimes mirror, mirror on the wall, look where you're stuck. And she's really good at it, and I appreciate her in my life because that's part of really our cosmic spiritual agreement, you know. And so I just appreciate that so much. I don't like it at the moment, but I always appreciate it shortly thereafter. So I actually finally hung up a mirror in my office, actually, that says Cosmic Mirror. And I take a few minutes every day to look at it and say, okay, Spirit, what do you want to show me today? What don't I get? And Spirit will bring me then an answer to something that I'm not getting, something that I want to change and facilitate in my life. And once you give yourself permission, it becomes one of the greatest teachers in your life. And Spirit will bring, if you're lucky, an angel scribe into your life and a dom into your life. One of the things we were laughing about as I taught this workshop in Maine was everybody goes, well, I want a dom. And I said, well, ask. You know, but the problem is then you have to put up with a dom and know that he's the voice in your head and outside of your head. And it is a consciousness that keeps you on track. So you got to remember that once you ask and you start getting it, it's not all just fun and fluff, that there is responsibility and a co-creation that happens once you get your guide. And, you know, it's not all play. There's some serious good work that happens because of it. So make sure you check our website, www.angelscribe.com, to see where I'm traveling next and what Mary Ellen Angel Scribe is up to. Again, www.angelscribe.com. And make sure you tune in to BBS Radio and check out websites and who's going to be up and coming. We will try and post. I am actually going to the International Spiritualist Federation meeting in Rochester, New York. I'm excited about that. I'm hoping to get the chance to interview some other foreign mediums because they're coming from all over the world, Spain and England, Canada, and just amazing places. So I'm hoping that maybe I can do my radio show live from there. If not, I'm hoping that I can go a little early, get to interview someone, and they will have an archive to play while I'm out playing spiritually. So make sure that you check our website, angelscribe.com, and www.bbsradio.com to facilitate and see who is going to be up and coming on the radio airwaves with me in the future. I am also working on a project which I hoped will come to fruition on interviewing some people who are writing about Mary Magdalene and the Jesus Connection. A lot of people have been emailing me about this phenomena that's kind of going on, and that is that there's been a lot of sightings of Mary again. And we go through these cycles of sightings of Mary. A few years ago, there were sightings in Medjugorje, and there was a sighting in Egypt, and they're sighting different places. And there was books that came out. Of course, the Da Vinci Code brought a lot of more of this interesting speculation into people's consciousness, and so I have found out a few people that are writing about Mary Magdalene and other things that are connected with the Mother of Mary and different things. So I hope to bring some of those authors onto the airwaves. So if you're interested in that subject, make notes, make questions, because we'll have call-in. I think it'll be exciting to have some call-ins and to experience asking questions. There are so many wonderful spiritual books and phenomena going on that I do believe that you're going to get exposed through bbsradio.com. A lot of wonderful, wonderful new authors and things that are coming out and stuff. So as you're going on this journey of, we've been talking today about, you know, co-creating and going into your chrysalis time, you know, really take into that time some things that you want to change in the year 2008 to 2012, because as the consciousness change, our needs are going to change, and we're going to be much less needy about things. We were also talking about the two things you're never supposed to talk about, of course, are religion and politics. Yet that seems to be the subject that you're hearing everywhere with the new candidates running, and the awareness of who do you think is going to be the most enlightened, the most consciously aware of spiritual needs in the United States as we go into a campaign year. Put that in your little cosmic consciousness, and as you watch many, many of these things on TV, you know, kind of talk to your guides, get a hit. What do you think it's going to look like in 2012? I'm trying to get a hold of someone who actually writes about spirituality and the cosmic universe and how they see the evolution of humankind with our politics and their changing times. And so I'm hoping to bring some of that to the airwaves as well, because I do think we are experiencing such a different time, and people are getting impatient sort of for the time of change. And I was asked while we were at this camp, do I feel like, you know, we're going to hit the apocalypse and Revelation times? And I said, you know, I think that's a perspective thing from what I've heard from my guides and the angels, that, you know, everybody's life, or everybody experiences gloom and doom and the end of the world in a different personal way. For some people, it really will be, if I say you can go directly to God, Spirit, you don't have to go through a mediator, that would change their world. If I said, you know what, the religion that you've followed for 45 years is going to change, you would look at it, you would go, I'm not ready. And so there would be a shift in consciousness of what that's going to look like. And we do see evolution in many, many religions. There was just a special on the History Channel about the Church of England, that it is changing its doctrine some. It is evolving. It has actually sold off a lot of its ancient church sites because people are not attending like they used to. Catholic Church is also experiencing that. They're going into bringing in music and different things in many, many religions, not just Catholic, but many, many religions, Christianity and many forms of religion, to try and interest the young in it. I think one thing about spiritualism and metaphysics, it has brought a younger age group in. Shamanism, all of those seem to have a lot more of the youth interested in it. I think, again, one reason for that is some of James Van Praagh's work. Some of the books that he has written for teenagers, some of the work by Ted Andrews, because he's written a lot for young people, and also the recognition of the indigo, crystal, and rainbow kids. Parents who are metaphysical are opening the doors for those next kids for it to be natural and normal. So they're not going to be caught up in structure and religion. They're going to want to paint their own. paint their own creation and do their own spiritual art form, because they just won't want to be in the box of religion. And so the connecting to spirit, God, goddess, all that is, insert your favorite deity, is going to be very different for them in that generation. And so it is a hard time for a lot of religions, because the evolution of not needing the structured religion, yet being very hungry for their tribe, their clan, their spiritual family, is shifting the consciousness. So we're going to have an exciting time from the end of 2007 to 2012, this amazing evolution of consciousness and change for all of us. And I know that we are so up to the challenge and the uniqueness of the times, because I really see so many people going in search of who they truly are and their divine spark. So it's been wonderful sharing my last adventures with you. I hope you got lots of questions. Please feel free to email me at my website at www.angelscribe.com or bbsradio.com. I hope that a lot of the people that I read and met while in Maine have the opportunity to connect through the internet, through the radio show, as well as, you know, email me your experiences after your readings. I really do like the feedback. I think it's very, very important to know that people got their needs met and got a new experience. And so until next time, I wish you lots of angel blessings. And remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and stay wrapped in the wings of angels.
Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles and the Angels and Miracles Good Newsletter, can be found at angelscribe.com.
Mother says, take 75 cents for the homeless man. Yeah. I'm dodging the manhole, feeling like I'm an island now. My mother says, take 75 cents for the homeless man. And my mother says, take 75 cents for the homeless man. And she'd say that if they pick your garden, chalk it up to experience. And if you meet your soulmate in Central Park, keep your eye on your Ben Franklin type. Just a little tip. Businessmen don't seem